Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. This is Pastor Lenny, New Life Church, once again telling you how much I love you. I care for you. Telling you what a great encouragement you are to me. You bless me. You bless me. I just want to say I thank you and I appreciate your comments. A lot of you are instant messaging me and on Facebook instant message. You know, some of you are messaging me via email. You're messaging me via the podcasts, the responses, the replies to the podcast, and you know, some of you even call to talk. I just thank you for your beautiful, loving words of encouragement. I'm grateful that I am bringing blessings into your life. I'm not infallible, but you know, I believe God is just fine-tuning a message, the message of grace, and you know, I just thank you for your feedback, and we're in it together. So please, always feel free to reach out and talk and ask your questions or make your comments. But I love you and I really appreciate you. And so, yesterday, we were talking about verse 8 of chapter 2. Being found in a fashion as a man. We talked about as a man. As a man. Hey, I'm only human. Wow. You know that the child of God, you know, being born from above, perhaps we could use, I'm only human. Even that, you know, only human. There's some people that are only human that do some phenomenal things. So even as only human, you know, mindset and belief system, so very important. So very, very important. Think about the Olympic athlete that trains. You know, the hours, the sweat, the work. You know, the running, the lifting, the training. And my son Brandon, we used to watch certain shows on the Discovery Channel, I think it was, and it had these special services from different countries, you know, like from Israel, you know, from Great Britain, from the United States, you know, all like the elite force of their militaries, you know, and the different trainings that the various people would go through, and what they were able to do and overcome, and that was just as man. So, you know, God created us even as man. Woo! If we train, you know, if we believe right, we could do some amazing things. But now, in addition to that, as a man, Jesus, as a man, see, when he went to the cross as a man, he also was filled with the anointing. And so you see now at born again, we are men and women, children, sons and daughters of God, right? 100% man, 100% spirit being, but possessing the anointing of God, the anointing. Whew, wow. The anointing. I can think about the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 20, where it says that you would know the exceeding greatness, of the power within. Whew, exceedingly great. And I remember we talked about that word, megos and dynamite and, you know, greatest magnitude and power, and you know, nothing could compare to it. That's within. You would know the exceeding greatness of the power that is within. According to that same power that raised Christ from the dead. Remember we talked about that. Had to be power because God made him who knew no sin to be sin, right? And we talked about past, present, future, the whole world. Right now there's a few billion people on the planet. So think about how many people are going to be coming in the future. Think about how many people have already come. The sins of the world, the sin were on him. Could you think of what power it took to raise him from the dead? And when he was raised from the dead, you and I were raised with him. Hallelujah. But anyway, as a man with the anointing, He became obedient. He became obedient. Jesus can only be obedient. I mean, I think there's a scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, where Jesus is 12 years of age. I think it's Luke chapter 2, verse 52. 252, Luke. And it says, at 12 years of age, he was growing. He was growing in wisdom and stature and grace and favor with God and man. 12. He didn't become obedient. See, when you look at that word, no, he was obedient. That was a part of his character. That was part of his nature. That was his nature as a son. So you see, your nature as a child of God born from above, we talked about this yesterday, your nature is to love. Your nature is to be patient. Your nature is to be merciful. Your nature is obedience. It's your nature. It's the only thing you could be. It's because you're born from above. You're one with Christ. His nature, your nature, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. So what has to take place? Not your doing, not your striving, not your working. You're renewing your soul so that your soul can become in agreement with the truth. All right? So, even unto death. And now when I look at that, unto death, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. I believe it's either verse 1 or 2. So if you get to Hebrews chapter 12, it's going to be right there at the beginning of the chapter where it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and completer of our faith. See, it's Jesus. Jesus is the completer of faith. Jesus is the author. It's Jesus' faith. When somebody writes a book, he's the author. It's his book. Okay? So we fix our eyes on the one whose faith it is. And he completes it. So fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, completer of faith. It's his faith. And the second part of the verse, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You remember, I remember back in the day, we used to sing choruses in church. And one of the choruses we sang in the late 70s when I first recognized God's love for me and responded to his grace, his love for me. One of the choruses we sang back then was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Remember that? Have you ever heard it? Probably. Listen, if you're new, you probably think, woohoo, I never heard that. Maybe you're saying, I'm glad I did. No. But anyway, joy of the Lord is our strength. That comes from the Old Testament. I believe it in the book of Nehemiah. I'm not sure. But anyway, I should know it, but I don't. I know how to find it. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy brings strength. For the joy, you and I, that was set before him. See, when Jesus, it says, obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. He was a man with the anointing, and he was fueled with joy. He was fueled with joy. Joy, I came to do your will, O God. He was overjoyed to know he was doing the Father's will. And when you read Hebrews chapter 8, remember I told you this yesterday, Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 10, very important portions of Scripture, because if you could understand this, what was your will, O God? Jesus makes it perfectly clear, to do away with the conditional covenant, to do away with it, and bring in the new. The old covenant had a fault. It was up to you and I. If the new covenant is up to you and I, then it has the same fault, but it doesn't. The new covenant was forged by the Father and the Son. And we put our faith in the Son. That's why it's not our perfection, it's His perfection. That's why it's not our obedience, it's His obedience. That's why it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. That's why it's not our holiness, it's His holiness. And at born again, we become one with Him. So what is His is ours. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, right? Even death on the cross. The joy, the Father's will. And what was that? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Remember, it tells us how long has the Father known us and seen us and seen us before Him in love, perfectly holy and perfectly blameless. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us that as long as God's been God, He has known you and I, and He has seen us before Him in Christ, in love, before Him, blameless and holy. So this is how the Father has always seen. You see, I've heard people say God doesn't need us. There's a balance. I believe God does need us. Now, I know we can go back and forth with that. But the reason why I say that is because the Bible makes it perfectly clear that God is love. Right? And when you think about the very nature of God is to give. For God so loved the world, He gave. Love gives. Love does. So if you have a nature to love and to do and to give, it's a good thing for you to have someone to love and someone to give to. So, in a way, kind of believe that God kind of needs us so He can, you know, be God, because He needs to love. It's His character. He loves. Now, of course, does God need us? What does God need? So, I guess, you know, there's a balance there. But to just say, hey, God doesn't need me. You know, do I need my children? Some can say, no, you don't need your children. You know what? I need my children because of love. I love loving my children. I love loving them. Hope this makes sense. So, death on the cross. Obedient to the Father's will. The Father wants us before Him, holy and blameless in love. And He's able to do that through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Accomplish it. It's no longer up to a man. It's no longer up to you and I. You see, it was up to a man. His name was Adam, the first Adam. And the first Adam failed, allowed sin to enter the world and death by sin. So now, God sent His Son. And the Bible doesn't call Him the second Adam. It calls Him the last Adam. There will not be another. There will not be another. For by one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, God perfected forever those He sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. I'm telling you, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. I mean, the whole book of Hebrews, but those two chapters. So he obedience even to death on the cross. Why? The joy of doing the Father's will. And that was to do away with the conditional covenant and enter in the one. The only condition is believe. And grace helps us do that. And the second fueling that Jesus got was the joy that was set before Him, right? The Father. The second fueling was you and I. You and I. You see, before born again, Jesus was friends of sinners. He told the disciples, you know, I call you friends. you know, friends of Jesus, but at born again, we're brothers and sisters. It's a lot better than a friend. Brothers and sisters, we have the same daddy, the same father. Woo! That's why Paul talks about it in chapter 8 of Romans, in chapter 4 of Galatians. You want to look there, 8 of Romans, 4 of Galatians, where it talks about we are sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of God. And if you are a son and daughter of God, very important, you are led by the Spirit, not by the law. You are led by the Spirit, not by the law. You are led by the Spirit and not by the law. Being led by the Spirit, right? The just shall live by faith is faith, takes faith, and God gives that faith. And the law is none of faith. Read about it. Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 4. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto wholeness. You talk about being whole. You talk about being healed, being well, right? Being rescued, being delivered, being righteous, being holy, being saint. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, sozo, wholeness, to all who believe, to the Jew first and then the Gentile, for therein lies the righteousness of God. For it is written, the just, the righteous live by faith. Powerful. Powerful. The law is not of faith. Woo! This Sunday, be on the lookout. We're going to be talking about receiving the grace of God in vain. Paul talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Frustrating. You can frustrate the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. And then we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, you know, verse 3 or 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. Off the top of my head, I don't correctly remember it, but I know it's in chapter 5 of Galatians where he tells us we can make grace of none effect and fall from grace. Whoa. So, anyway, where was I? This gospel, Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, even death on the cross. Why? The will of the Father. You see, people don't understand what the will of the Father is. Do you know what the will of the Father is? To bless? That's his will. To bless. That's his will. But you see, in the conditional covenant, he can't always act according to his will, because it's a conditional covenant. You first, then he will. But he couldn't do, even though he willed, because it was conditional. So now he had to replace it. Do you see? Do you understand? So now, gospel of grace, conditional, believe, faith in Jesus Christ, boom, condition. Now God, through Jesus Christ, is able to bless. On Sunday, when I talk about the frustrating the grace of God, I'm going to be talking about why legalistic preaching, legalism, right? They can't understand prosperity. It's going to be as clear as the bright sun on the clearest of days. You know, one of those beautiful days in summer when there's not a cloud in the sky and that beautiful sun is right there up in there shining at us. It's going to be as clear as that. Why legalism and legalistic preaching and legalistic preachers, why they can't embrace prosperity. Why? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. He became a curse to redeem us from the curse. What is that? What was the curse? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and you'll find out what the curse was. He became a curse to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin and of death. that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. The blessings of Abraham. Yeah. The head and not the tail, the top and not the bottom, above only. Your storehouses will be filled. Your barns will be filled. Your breadbasket would be filled. Enemies will come at you one way, they'll flee seven ways. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Anyway, death on the cross, joy that was set before him, the joy of knowing he was going to fulfill the Father's will and the Father's desire. And you and I fueled him and gave him strength. All right, so see, I mean, I can go on and on about verse 8, but we'll stop here now for today. I don't know if I'll talk a little bit more about verse 8 tomorrow or move on to verse 9, but this is Pastor Lenny saying I love you, and I hope what I've been sharing so far has been making sense. I love you. Walk in the blessings.